T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You are looking live at the McNeil and Parkins Show.
Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins.
Hey, Danny, give me a cigar.
Is this Brent freaking Must?
Hey, my man.
Hard Knocks Season 14, Episode 2 last night on HBO. This hour on The Score brought to you by Mancari Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram on 95th Street in Oak Lawn. Eloy Jimenez just hit a moonshot listed at 434 feet. Seemed like it went a lot further. White Sox on top of the Astros, 9-7.
Thanks, Cubs!
In the seventh inning. You're welcome. You're welcome. Hey, Quintana, you're welcome.
Quintana. You're welcome.
14 strikeouts in six innings.
Oh, man. Did you ever use that? Did you ever use that coup on pick a player? I mean, you know.
That's why we play that.
Rest in peace, pick a player.
Yeah, tell me about it.
But I had such a good time getting that content from Don Cooper there in Mitch's office. And what was the one? Was it candy bars or gum flavors?
I think
or
it
something?
Was types of gum.
Types of gum. And he was going,
Yeah.
Juji fruit.
Yeah, juji fruit.
Updates. An update from Guaranteed Rate Field. Jose Altuve has done Jose Altuve things, and they're tied at 9.
Oh, my God. Astros,
that
good.
That didn't last long.
By the way, that Eloy bomb, I believe, went very close to where many of our intercom brethren are enjoying the afternoon.
It's like intercom day at the fan deck out there in center.
So it's right near the fan deck.
That ball was hit to just right of straight center field, above the first level and second level of the batter's eye. And it cleared the protective wall thing on the lower part of the fan deck because it looked like some fans had access to getting that ball. That thing was mollywalked.
If you remember his first home run at that park, it was just to the right of that a little bit.
Okay, so yeah. That
it's 400 to dead center. 434, no way. That's 455 plus.
Yeah, that ball was absolutely crushed.
You know, now that everything is StatCast and it has this kind of, you know, this cybertronic legitimacy to it, I feel like we don't argue with those things. But I think it's also completely full of crap sometimes. You know, just absolutely full of crap.
It's full of crap when it says something that we don't like. Like if it undersells a ball that goes to a really cool part of the stadium, we're like, that 424. What about 524?
You're full of crap too. You're all full of crap.
Yeah, but if the ball scrapes the back of the wall and they're like 415, you're like, oh, okay, 415. Yeah,
I don't think it's entirely confirmation bias, or
I think some of it is.
I mean,
there was one this year where Rowdy Tellez from the Blue Jays hit a home run, and it projected it to be 505 feet, and the actual measurement was 426.
See?
So there's precedent.
Yeah, something's funky in there.
Not just off, but way off.
You know, I was in the, when I was in the Cubs booth for pre and post the night that Javi hit a blast just to the right of the scoreboard and left, and I think they called that one 455, something like that, and then Hap hit one to right, and it looked like exactly the same spot, kind of deep in the power alley, but a little further. And they called Haps 474, and I couldn't figure out. It just didn't make any damn sense to me. And I'm saying that my eyes from up there in the broadcast booth are more valuable than whatever garbage computers they're using.
I got no problem with that.
All right, good.
That's fine.
Good talk.
Good talk. See you out there. This segment is driven by Prestige Exotics. If you are planning a business trip, a wedding, or looking for the perfect ride for your child to arrive in style for homecoming, visit PrestigeExotics.com to rent your dream car. That's PrestigeExotics.com. I crushed episode 1 of Hard Knocks. I thought it was awful. I thought it felt a little bit like state-sponsored TV. They glossed over Richie Incognito's history. The controversy with the Raiders heading to Vegas and being sued by Oakland, didn't mention at all how Antonio Brown hurt his feet, just that his feet were hurt. Didn't mention that there was a mistake in a cryo chamber, whatever those things are called. It was very odd and very boring. Last night's episode, I still felt like they gave us not nearly enough of the true unfiltered gossip around this Antonio Brown sideshow.
But they gave us a lot of footage of the feet and him kind of rambling as to how this all went down. Didn't they? That was exclusive and good.
Exactly.
You look like you're walking a little funny.
Yeah, my feet is pretty much getting circumcised, right? Right?
Yeah.
For
like,
real.
Like circulation?
Yeah, no. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, 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 exactly. Yeah, with the new skin, yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, it's kind of like a pullback right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, circumcised on my feet, you know. Hopefully my feet born again and I freaking can run faster. Feel sorry for me later. Thank you.
His feet got circumcised, is what he's saying, because there's a bunch of loose skin on the bottom.
I don't know if we'd heard this before, but in that episode last night, you heard him basically say that they swelled up. So then he, like, took a needle to it and then took a scissors to his feet. Like, he's the one who then butchered his feet trying to drain the liquid from it, and he created this issue. So it's a lot of self-inflicted foot damage from Antonio Brown.
Yeah, and he said he had his trainer there, but it was in a cryo chamber thing in France, and that he got his guy, and then he tried to work out right away, and his feet looked disgusting.
Horrific.
And, you know, kind of an important thing. Route running for a wide receiver, not as important as his hands, but probably pretty important. And then the helmet thing was addressed, but the absurdity, like, I don't believe that John Gruden is as supportive of Antonio Brown as the episode made him out to be.
Well, John Gruden is a huckster, is a straight up actor, and, you know, and he was doing the games on Monday nights, and you'd kind of feel him acting and playing the role a lot. As I'm watching this, you talk about state TV, and there's an element of Hard Knocks that has been that way for a while now. But Gruden, seemingly to everybody, is playing the role of head coach to everybody, not just to the cameras either, but he's like playing that role to players and assistant coaches alike, it feels like. And
sorry for being a d- but I am a d- not really. I just big fans.
I gotta say, I'm in it for the entertainment, Speaks.
Sure, always that.
Gruden
he's all of that.
Was so damn entertaining last night. Tanny, I don't know what you have, but I thought, like, I was laughing out loud at multiple points throughout the episode.
I mean, I have so much because I'm a big time Gruden guy for the reasons that Speaks just mentioned. Like, I don't think any of it's real, but I just couldn't get enough, and especially like football-y stuff, like guy who goes out of his way to let you know that he's football-y. That's what he is, and I love all of it. But I just thought that the way they started the episode was a great way to set the tone with Gruden addressing the team ahead of week two of training camp.
Just some notes here, man. The first week of training camp is in the books, man. 1 week is down. All right, like everybody, just stand up, welcome each other to the second week of training camp, man. All right, second week of training camp. Okay, on a serious note now, I like where we're going, I like what we're doing, but as I said at the beginning, the second week, it's time for us to raise the bar now. Are we clear on that? We got to raise the bar. I want to practice with better etiquette, okay? Stay off the ground, stay away from the quarterback. I want the backs and receivers to finish runs, okay? I want better etiquette. But more than anything, I want better execution. Are we clear on that? I want better f-ing execution. I want you to get a little bit pissed off. All right, not a lot of people expect very much from us. Do they? Do they? You've been reading about us? Not a lot of people expect enough from us. I'm tired, man. I'm tired of reading about it. It's time for you to stick your foot up somebody. Man, I'm looking for relentless, every situation strain. I want everybody to pick it up tonight because we're capable of being a great football team.
I was ready to do the Oklahoma drill right then and there in my living room right after that, man.
By design.
Yes.
You can tell he's like, you know what, I'm gonna give him some love, gonna let him have a kumbaya moment with a week two representation of standing up and shaking each other's hands, and then I'm gonna get angry. Out of nowhere, I'm gonna get really angry.
And
that mix
music
is gonna get them ready to go. You got my music ready?
Yeah.
Hit it! No, 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 no.
And by the way, did they stay away from the quarterback? I couldn't remember that part of it. That was like his message from day one, stay away from the quarterback, but that was a thing that did not happen as Derek Carr got hit in practice.
That hit on Derek Carr, I know it's, you know, it didn't mean to happen. It should have happened. But, we got to stay away from this quarterback, man. You know, I'm not going to pound the damn drum here all day, but damn. You know, Stay away from the quarterback. You know, protect the merchandise, man.
It all just escalates so quickly with Gruden, and you can never... If I was working there from the picture that it's being painted, I would not know when he's being serious or when he's joking around. I would have no ability to tell between the two.
Yeah, you know, Tanny played it early on like, you know, I'm sorry for being a bleep, but I'm not really a bleep, but I kind of am. Yeah. Like, what? Yeah.
Come again, John.
Yeah, he's all over the joint.
And he loves saying man, man.
Oh, he does, man.
Man, it's a lot of man.
See, I didn't notice that like Tanny did. Like, so this is his crutch. Obviously, we used to play all this guy and that guy, this guy and that guy game on Monday nights when he was broadcasting.
Yeah, well, so apparently what we've done is whenever Dan Plesak is on with Mac and I, we play the Dan game without him knowing it. Shep will tell him when he gets him on hold. He'll say, you know, you're going on with Dan McNeil and Danny Parkins. And he's Dan Plesak. I'll be sure to lean into the names right before it goes. And then he usually says Dan or some variation of dangerous about 20 times over a 10, 12, 14-minute conversation. That's our normal over-under. So we play the Dan game with Dan Plesak, and now we're going to play the man game with John Gruden.
Good evening, man. Just some notes here, man. The first week of training camp is in the books, man. Training camp, man. I'm tired, man. Somebody's ass, man.
Injury he had, man.
Get out of the thing, man. 2 days in a row, though, man. I mean, hey, doing great, Mac.
What city, man?
We got to stay away from this quarterback, man. Protect the merchandise, man.
You got to hurry up, man.
Quit being so introverted, man.
Good evening, man.
Oh, man. That's good, man.
Let's go, man.
Good drive by Glennon, man.
Hey, we can't turn the ball over, man.
Hey, run it away from the safety, man.
Good job by Peter, man.
Are we clear, man?
Wow.
Eat your heart out, Dan Plesak. That is incredible stuff. I lost count, Tanny. How many was that?
22, I believe.
Wow. Oh, my God. That's just last night?
Yes.
Wow.
One episode of Man Variations.
Protect the merchandise, man.
Well, because if they don't protect Derek Carr, they got to go to the giraffe.
Oh boy!
Yeah, man.
He went through a whole thing with Glennon. But
we've got one question for you:
are you a Glennon guy?
No.
What do you think?
Wrong.
Jim Miller over here.
Before we talk Glennon, though, so the thing about man and men, so it's obviously a crutch, a conversational crutch, trying to be cool and like bond with these guys and connect with these guys, man.
Yeah.
But it's also he's thinking about, you know, these are men. I'm building men, and then we've got to make sure these guys are men. Right, so it's got some of that going on.
Yeah, it's football machismo stuff. Like he's casual chauvinist guy. He's like, I'm looking more forward to seeing Jalen Ross play football than seeing my wife, and I haven't seen her in 2 weeks. Ha ha, hilarious.
Yeah, right.
You know, so yeah
exactly.
He's that guy. Man.
Man.
I'm sure, Danny, I'm sure you liked the Sean McVay action in there.
Oh, it was beautiful.
That was
man.
A really cool part, actually, where they showed Sean McVay on John Gruden's staff back in the Tampa days when he was like, what, 1920, something like that? Yeah, I couldn't say what they called him.
And his uncle John McVay had the connection to Tampa Bay. That's how he got on the staff, or got close to it anyway.
Yeah, so they had old NFL films, archival footage of Sean McVay in the Tampa film room, and they made a big deal about the Rams coming to town.
We got to get ready for these guys now. They got a hell of a young coach. He's an offensive-minded guy. He's coming here to wreck your ass.
It's just, I didn't know that when they do those joint practices that they actually will put up footage of the guys on the other team because they don't scout for them. But because Derek Carr later in the episode, Hunter Renfro, the Clemson rookie receiver, asks Derek Carr if he's nervous before the joint practice with the Rams. And Derek Carr just looks at him and goes, no, I've played in bigger games than this. So I don't know.
Yeah, it was totally done up for TV because, you know, they make this big to-do about the Rams coming in, man. Oh, man.
In 6 days, the NFC champion Rams are coming in here.
So they make a big deal about it, and then when they show Sean McVay and Gruden meeting for the first time, McVay's like, hey, you got a nice little tan going there. It's like, yeah, you do too.
Yeah, they didn't care at all. It was ridiculous.
Hmm.
How do you the Glennon stuff, too, though.
Okay, yeah, let's get to the Glennon stuff because...
Because we've lived it.
Exactly.
We spent so much time, you know, from your brilliant rationalization of the Mike Glennon contract.
Which I still defend.
Yeah, John, sure. I get it. I get it at the time.
Only 1 year.
And then we had to actually watch him play. That's always the downside of the Mike Glennon thing, is that theoretically it makes sense on some level, and then he actually plays a game.
Yeah, I have no defense of him as a football player, but just only paying a quarterback for 1 year, I loved the idea conceptually. But yeah, the Raiders fans got the full Bears Mike Glennon experience in one episode of Hard Knocks.
Starting quarterback Derek Carr is in street clothes. That means plenty of snacks for the two men vying to be his backup. Number 7, Mike Glennon, is up first.
Hey, Mike, get these guys going, Mike. Challenge these guys up front. Now, get them going, brother.
Glennon is 6'6". Great vision downfield. Hand off Washington. Daylight. Touchdown!
Good drive by Glennon, man. Good check down on third down. Hey, Mike, that's good football right there. Good job on third down.
You know, Glennon just looks so poised, didn't he? And he's so big. I like Glennon now. That was a nice try by the big ass.
So that was their first drive of the game. They're off to a good start. It was kind of like how we all felt early on with Glennon.
How great is that, Danny, that like, you know, I like Glennon. Boy, he's big.
Yeah, that's what we always go back to with Glennon. Like, oh, what do you see good? What do you like about Mike Glennon?
The ginger giraffe.
He's so big and tall.
He can see over the offensive lineman, no problem.
Exactly, yeah. He can see every secondary.
He ought to see every open receiver imaginable.
Right, he can see everyone in the defensive backfield that he's going to throw to.
And then they're like, oh, you guys don't know everything. And we don't, but neither do the coaches, because they're saying the same damn things about Mike Glennon that we are. Oh, he's big. Well, so how did it go the rest of the episode?
Progressively worse. He threw a couple picks. You know, the first one, coach gave him a little leeway.
Glennon fires deep, picked off, intercepted at midfield.
It's a throw you can't make. It's never feels the backside, just jump that route.
Hey, what are you doing?
Overlap corner.
Huh?
Overlap corner.
I know, it's a midpoint corner.
Okay, Mike, all right, whatever. Everyone makes mistakes. It's preseason. We're working things out.
Don't worry, big man.
But then he threw a pick inside the red zone.
Let's play some football here!
Lady! Where's that?
From the gun, Glennon fires. Another interception at the goal line by the Rams. That was a very, very bad throw by Mike Glennon.
The hell are you doing? What are you doing?
Bad ball.
What are you doing?
Well,
where were you going?
Single high.
I don't care. Where are you going?
Just thought I'd take Carrier on the corner.
All right.
Damn.
First and 10 for the Rams from their 40.
Hey, we can't turn the ball over, man. I ain't gonna be a part of that. Ridiculous. Christ, he looks like that. I gotta quit cussing.
Oh my God.
Isn't it beautiful?
Oh, it's so amazing. I can't be a part of that with turnovers. Well, guess what? If you're gonna put Mike Glennon in a game, you will be a part of that.
Or Nathan Peterman. Oh. That's the other option. 5 interceptions and a half, Nathan Peterman.
Yeah, texture says, with that backup quarterback situation, I understand why Gruden wants to protect the merchandise
so
much.
I do too. It bounced back in a big way. That was a thoroughly entertaining episode of Hard Knocks.
Yeah, you know, the cult of personality that is Gruden, just the full-on falsehood that is seemingly everything that the man says, is just amazing. He's trying to get in Nate Peterman's head at one point. He's like, come on, man, you feel anything? I don't mean to be a bleep, but maybe you should be a bleep about something. Does this make you feel like wanting to be a bleep? Like, he's trying to get in his head and trying to get
You gotta hurry up, man. It takes forever. Start the motion. Get it going. We're running out of time. My life is running out of lifespan. So casual. Like a house mouse.
I forgot about that one.
What the hell is a house mouse?
My life is running out of lifespan.
But that
was serious.
That was phenomenal to have our entire Mike Glennon experience compressed into what, Tanny? 2 minutes of sound from one episode?
But if you blinked, you missed it, but we were looking for it, certainly so.
Well, there's actually a Mike Glennon flashback to the Spiegel and Parkin show that I think we should torture Tanny with coming up next on The Score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Rookie defensive end Max Crosby appreciates the classics.
You ever hear of the Parliament Funkadelic? You ever hear of George Clinton? How about Bootsy Collins?
Bootsy Collins.
I've heard that name.
I've had the name with Bootsy
Collins. Give me one song.
I know the name, but I don't know. I swear to God, I don't know that name.
Be honest.
Oh, my God.
You're a rap guy. You never George Clinton or Bootsy Collins.
He's old, though.
Mike Mayock checking the youngsters, making sure that they had a little bit of historical music knowledge.
Because he heard the rap. And you said you kind of enjoyed with Crosby.
Yeah, on his T-Pain. Yeah, it was really good.
And then Mayock's like, are you hip to Funkadelic? Are you hip to George Clinton and Bootsy? And there's a flashlight. You know, if you liked Snoop Dogg's debut album at all, then you should listen to the Parliament Funkadelic that it was taken from. Like, I don't know, 90% of the
90%?
Well, maybe not. But like 80% of the backing tracks, essentially. I was like, is this an entire Parliament Funkadelic
You're
record?
A pretty rap guy. You never heard of George Clinton or Bootsy Collins.
I had no idea Mike Mayock would represent the funk so ably.
A little surprising, right, in that moment? It was nice. Bottom of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Coach Fitz and the Big Ten West Division champs at Ryan Field this fall. They've got Ohio State, Michigan State, Iowa, and more. Season and single game tickets on sale at nusports.com. Also, you should join the Score's Lawrence Holmes Tuesday, August 20th. He hosts Nicholas Castellanos and Derek Holland at the Budweiser Brickhouse Tavern in Wrigley for the final luncheon of the 2019 Cubs on Deck series. Tickets on sale now at 670thescore.com/ondeck. Presented by TimberTech and Xfinity. Speaking of old school classics, speaks
and soul or funk.
Sure. When I heard Mike Glennon last night, and you know I was going down memory lane and being sentimental about the Mitch album and the Spiegel and Parkins days.
Right, right.
It made me think to after what was the order of the tracks of the Mitch album
of the Mitch
the
album?
Concept album about Mitch Trubisky's first year with the Bears when we were doing a show.
Well, we dreamed of finishing the album and then we actually did, and I think it holds up as a concept album. Track one was taken from the Chambers Brothers' "Time Has Come Today." We did "Time for Mitch to Play."
That's right,
because we wanted Mitch to play and he didn't. Track two was "Wake Me Up When Trubisky's In."
Yep, because they were 0-2 at that point after losses to the Falcons and Bucks, and it just didn't feel like a football season worth watching.
And we just, you know, and we thought the theme of the whole year was going to be watching Mike Glennon play instead of Mitch. Track three was "We Don't Get Mitch Again." So there were three tracks about not getting.
But when are we going to get him?
Right.
Yeah.
And then track four came after game four when Glennon had just sucked so fully. And so completely
against the Packers
that they had absolutely no choice but to deliver Mitch Trubisky into our waiting hands.
He had led the league in turnovers through four games. It forced Ryan Pace's hands, and the calendar turned to October,
yes,
which meant our Mitchlessness in September was over.
Right.
Hence, Mitch-tember.
Speaking of the funk.
Do you remember Glennon was bad in September?
team's not winning, but at least now the fans are grinning. As we await Monday night, remember how the giraffe threw the ball away.
Bahia! Always will remember Bahia! Mitch played after September. Bahia! Monday is Trubisky Day!
The fans are with you, and we're on the rouse to see you. Only good vibes and love, remember. We haven't really seen you play. By December, you had better be great. In September, we'll be fading away, remember. The Mitch show we share.
Tanny,
do it!
He was waiting.
Don't say Mike Glennon didn't give us anything. Mike Glennon gave us Mitch Tember.
He's already
I hate you.
Dead. He's already dead. Monday was Trubisky Day. You finally got him. Oh, yeah.
It was a beautiful thing.
Your falsetto.
So much range. So much range.
Did you guys ever see Pearl Harbor when it was in movie theaters in roughly 2000 or 2001?
No.
Sure, Ben Affleck.
And it was just, I mean, it was awful from the start. I mean, it's a story that needs to be told, but it's just a disaster of a movie. Terrible, terrible, terrible. And just keeps going, and it's like 3 hours long.
Yeah.
And that's how that just felt for Tanny and me.
Really?
Like, we're going to have our own Pearl Harbor type special, like Band of Brothers, like how they had interviews with the people that were part of it, the survivors. And they're going to interview us about what it was like having to listen to that song.
So you're saying you don't want to hear me rap?
Is that tomorrow?
Is that what you're saying?
Oh, man, I'm not feeling so good.
God, Tanny, my ear is just, I got this infection. It's contagious. I don't think I can make it.
Peoria Matt says, you think it was bad the first listen, and then it's brought back, and it's even more jarring. The juxtaposition between Spiegel's relatively true to the original rendition and Parkin's caterwauling is breathtaking. See, to me, that's what makes it. That was that's what we found was me sort of trying to do it and doing it vaguely well enough to be passable, and then just, you are an abomination.
I thought you were going to say, and then I come in and nail it.
Oh, that's right.
I thought, listen, that's just one of eight tracks that we did. If you want to go to soundcloud.com/Spiegel Parkins and you can relive Mr. Trubisky's full season, it's all there for you. There's rap. There's rock. There's the song from Frozen, Let It Grow. It's all there. Uh-huh. It's all here for you. By the way, James McCann hit a grand slam.
He did.
White Sox on top of the Astros, 13-9, one out in the ninth inning. Wait a second. What's the song from Frozen?
Let It Grow.
What did I call it? It's Let It Go.
Let It Go.
Because people are screaming at their radios right now.
Let It Grow is from Eric Clapton.
That's a different one.
Oh. Smoke weed every day.
All right. Short-term memory. Whatever. Screw you guys. I'm going home. Yeah, so, you know, I'm just saying, we can relive it. I listened to 7 tracks yesterday.
You're the one.
I'm telling you.
You're that guy.
I'm telling you.
He had his headphones on the train, and he had, you know, one ear open so people around him could hear it, hoping someone would ask him, hey, is that the Mitch album you're listening to?
That's right.
I love that stuff.
That's right. I just walk around with a Bluetooth speaker. It's surprisingly popular. Makes me friends.
Oh, man. It's tremendous. That's it. That's the moment. That's the moment. I remember being in studio trying to get Danny to sing it and trying to sing where the area was and be like, you know, I think that's about as good as we're going to get, Russ. Let's just go ahead and roll on that. Can you move that around? Do something with that? Yeah. Not going to get better.
You were like a disappointed father.
like, oh, he just has no, no. What is it? Talent. Yeah, yeah, it's talent, I think, that he's lacking.
You know, John Mulaney, the excellent comic John Mulaney.
He's fantastic.
I was listening to him talk about himself as a singer, and he said that he always thought he was tone deaf. And he was talking to a friend of his who's an opera singer and saying, could you listen to me sing? I think I might be tone deaf. And he sang for the friend, and the friend said, oh, no, no, you're not tone deaf. What you are is a terrible singer.
I resemble that remark. Joe Maddon on his future, the story that doesn't end, next on The Score.
Base is loaded. Two out. McCann hits it in the air. Right field. Reddick back. It is gone! A grand slam for James McCann! Somehow, an amazing season just got better for number 33. Wow!
Jason Benetti on the call, WGN, thank you for the audio. James McCann, one of the truly great stories of the White Sox season, a bottom of the eighth grand slam to break a 9-9 tie. White Sox have now taken 2 of 3 from the Astros at Guaranteed Rate Field after a split doubleheader yesterday.
So what? They've taken 2 of 3, and I think they've won 4 of the 7 games that they've played on the year. They've taken a season series from the Astros. That's something. You know, James McCann is a terrific find, and if all he is a defensive guy who helps kind of redefine the way that you game plan for games because he is aggressive and comes up with his own scouting reports on the plane and does stuff that perhaps the organization should have been doing for a while, I mean, that's great. But if he can hit a little bit too, then that's even better. That's a fun game today.
Do you consider him catcher of the future?
I consider him catcher of the right now.
Yeah, I mean, I
catcher
agree.
Catcher of the window. I'd be
you
fine.
Do.
Absolutely.
Catcher of the window.
Absolutely be fine with him as catcher of the window. The way that the young pitchers have gravitated to him, the way that he's going to prepare and show guys what a work ethic really is, sure.
I agree with you. It feels like such an underrated win of the season. When Tim Anderson broke out, Moncada broke out, obviously Giolito broke out.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tough position to fill. So if you get that from an unexpected place, even if his age doesn't perfectly line up with the other guys, it doesn't really matter as long as you fill that spot.
Yeah, his age might not dovetail, but it's not like he's ever been paid a ton. You're not going to have to pay a ton to keep him. He likes it here. He enjoys it here. And, you know, you'll have to get offense from other spots in your lineup, but you're supposed to. Like he's just – sometimes you can exist with a catcher that you're not counting on getting offense from. If you get offense from him, that's a bonus. What he does defensively and in terms of pitch – You know, handling the pitchers is phenomenal.
It's a great story, too, just being outright released from the Tigers.
Yeah.
Right? Comes up in that organization, watches Martinez, watches Cabrera, is there, and he's just waiting for his shot, and then they're like, it's just never going to click. And they let him go. And then he catches on in the division and breaks out like that.
Yeah,
all-star.
You ask anybody like in development or in scouting, and they'll tell you, catchers are weird. They just kind of some develop early, some develop late, some kind of never take that extra step that you think. They're just funky because there's a lot going on there mentally.
Joe Maddon was on with Lawrence Holmes earlier today, and we've got Jed Hoyer tomorrow at 2 o'clock on this show, and it's odd because the shelf life of these stories, it's like the beat writers get Joe to say he expects to be back for at least a couple of years, and if he's not, it'll have nothing to do with wins and losses. Then Bernstein reports that the Cubs are unhappy with it.
Yeah, I'm glad you're tracing the whole arc here because everybody's played their role, right?
Yeah, so then Bernstein has that report from a Cubs source. Then Theo talks to the beat reporters and refutes that story.
Calls it baseless. I told Bernsey, by the way, that he should put baseless in his Twitter bio.
I think it would work.
Just go ahead and embrace it.
And then Joe goes on with – so that's Joe, Theo – and then here's Joe with Lawrence, and all of a sudden when these types of things happen, it turns into a 72-hour story. So this is Joe Maddon addressing his future with Lawrence Holmes.
It's not that difficult because, I mean, Theo and I and Jed and the Ricketts family, we're all on the same page with all of this. There's everything, I mean, the stuff that's said or questions asked, it's just obligatory stuff based on the situation, and I get it, and I do my best to answer the question as well as I can. But I can't emphasize enough. We're having a wonderful year in regards to communication, the interaction, the personal relationships, the professional relationships. All that stuff is in place. But I only think about it if I'm asked about it. It's not on my mind like you might think. It's not. Like I said, I trust in our group. I feel strongly about our group. That'll take care of itself when the appropriate time comes. But for now, to only score two runs last night and lose to the Phillies, that's what my thoughts are.
It's a professional way of answering it, and I still think what happened is Joe just had a half of a misstep by saying, instead of saying hoping to be back when he's asking it, he says, I expect to be back. And once you do that, it begs follow-ups because that's slightly new than what he had said before.
Uh-huh.
And then he says, well, it won't be about wins and losses. We've been winning plenty, defending his record. And then that begs another follow-up of, well, if it's not about wins and losses, what's it about? Because that answer to Lawrence, there's no follow-up there. I'm focused on this stuff right now, mm-hmm. and it doesn't bother me at all. The only time I think of it is when you guys bring it up. That's how he had been answering it all season long. But just for whatever reason, maybe it was calculated, like you said, because he was in Philly, and they might have an opening, and it's near his hometown. Or maybe it was just, I let one slip. So whether intentional or unintentional, Joe's answer created now a 72-hour news cycle of his future.
Well, yeah, that and the Bernsey report, you know, as well. Those things got together,
yeah,
to create the cycle. And it makes sense. Everybody goes where they go here. It does, though. The whole cycle of it and what you end up focusing on obscures some definitive truth that Joe gave you in those initial comments, though, by the way, that it's about the relationship because,
yes,
because of course it is. Because when you're working, especially the way baseball is now, it's a front office and a manager. You're a partner. You are talking all the time. Do you believe that this is the best guy to implement your vision? Because you're his boss. Those guys are his boss. We've seen, you know, the front offices exhibit that power and take down a guy and bring in a partner all over the game these days. So, yeah, Joe told you it's about whether you want to work together and whether you can keep working together. And they aggressively and more transparently than they needed to and more transparently than a lot of other organizations would changed the dynamic this past offseason. Told you about it.
Yeah.
Joe opened up and he did it. So, yeah, of course it's about whether they can work together and want to keep working together.
What will be interesting, though, because you're right, they have been transparent on that to a point. Let's say what you have been saying for years and I agree with and think will also happen, that they part ways this offseason. Let's say that happens. Explaining that, given that all of the things that are on the record, it's going to be tough if you say, 5 playoff appearances, first time in franchise history, won a World Series, went to the NLCS an extra 2 times, and then whatever the results are this year, best winning percentage of a Cubs manager in a century, and we wanted to go a different direction. It's going to be difficult to explain that to a ton of Cubs fans who love Joe Maddon.
I don't know. Theo's awfully good at explaining things.
He is.
And he will tell you, he'll tell you that the margin for what you want, the margin for winning when you get to this level, the stratospheric level at which the Cubs organization is playing, is very, very small, and that they've done a million things to try and change up the chemistry of the room, to try and change up the personality mix of the room, and there's one more card that they can play, and they're going to play it. And if that guy is somebody who fits the David Ross prototype, like, say, David Ross, it's going to make all the sense in the world. Because it is damn near a quantifiable item, this, like, edge of leadership and edge of personality that Ross brought that they've been trying to recapture for years now, and they can't find it. So if they were to be able to say, hey, we found a guy who's going to give us what we think the room is lacking, after doing everything they did last offseason to try and change the room, look how much they've done to try and change the room. And look what they've done at the deadline and the way they're talking about the effect of the hunger and all that stuff. They just keep trying to change the room. There's one more card. There's one more card to play.
Do you think then it's 4 hitting coaches and 4 pitching coaches in 4 years? Because I would.
right? If you hire David Ross.
I think Hotovy stays. I think Hotovy's...
Because they're front office guys?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think Hotovy is...
I think he's been great.
I think he's there are many success stories. Kyle Ryan is a success story. Brandon Kinsler is a success story.
For sure. I just at the beginning of Joe, they empowered him to make his picks, to make him as comfortable as possible in a new place with his coaches. And I would wonder if the new manager would be afforded the same right.
Let's ask Alex Cora how much power he had. Let's ask Aaron Boone how much power he had.
Sure. And
ask AJ Hinch how much power he had to name his coaches, at least at first. That's the comp, and I think the answer is it's a shared situation. You okay with this? Because we are. Oh, sure.
All right. I get to be the manager of the Cubs?
Oh, yeah, okay. All right, good, yeah.
Yeah. I'm in agreement. Opening day, I said if they win the World Series, I still think he's gone. And nothing's really changed that, but I think that Joe putting it out there like that, I believe him that he wants to be here through this window of 2021.
I believe he does too. I believe he does too. Just opened a restaurant, you know.
But see, like people talk about that. Like, come on, Madden's post.
That's like that's just an emblem of the fact that the man has laid down roots in a tremendous city that he has come to love.
Sure,
has deep seated relationships with both now a restaurant and a corner of society, and also a giant liquor distributorship. You know, and like all those kinds of things. And he legitimately he loves working there.
Of course.
Loves working over there.
He won a damn World Series for the Cubs.
And have you seen the city in the summer? Man rides his bike around. On the lakefront, that's not phony. He digs this town. It's a great town to be a manager in.
Speaking of the edge brought to the Cubs, how is that affecting them in quantifiable and unquantifiable ways? There's been an underbelly story brewing here with the Cubs we want to get into before we take you up to Cubs baseball. It's Mack and Parkins with Spieg's In on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.